In this morning's gospel, we hear once again the stirring proclamation of the Great Commission, Jesus' final instruction to the apostles just before he departs from earth and ascends into heaven. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. I find this an amazingly appropriate scripture, not just for today's Feast of the Ascension, but also for the graduation season, which begins next weekend. In a sense, the Great Commission is very much like the commencement address that many graduates will hear. A thoughtful commencement speaker does not simply flatter the graduates for their academic achievements, nor does she indulge them by encouraging their craving for superficial trappings of success like money and power. While an adept commencement speaker rightfully acknowledges the hard-earned skills of the graduates, she also inspires them to use those skills to make the world a better place. That's what Jesus was doing with the apostles in the Great Commission. He says to them, with my authority and power behind you, and with your extensive memory of how I acted while I was on earth, now you go forth and do good in the world. More precisely, Jesus commands the apostles to go forth and make disciples of all the nations. But what does that mean, to make disciples? Well, a disciple is like an apprentice, someone who, through close observation and then through trial and error and much practice, learns to do what the mentor does so very well. A Christian disciple, therefore, must learn by imitating Jesus how to speak an encouraging word to the despondent, how to cure the sick, how to raise the dead, how to cast out demons, and most importantly, how to do these things in a preferential way for the neediest and most vulnerable among us. I can only imagine the skeptical reaction of the apostles when they heard the Great Commission. Cure the sick? Me? How am I supposed to do that? I'm a simple fisherman. What do I know about medicine? Raise the dead? I don't think so. I'm not the Son of God. The reason I can imagine the apostles' lack of confidence so easily is because I raise similar objections myself several times every week. What, Lord? You want me to sit here and hold the hand of this mother whose son's body was just mangled in a car crash? What could I possibly say to her? Or, you want me to talk to that desperate man who just lost his job and is now anxious about losing his house as well? What do I know about such things? Nevertheless, despite our well-founded misgivings, the gospel assures us that Jesus still expects all disciples to fill our Great Commission. Jesus must have seen something more in those first 11 disciples than they were able to see in themselves. And I suppose he must look at me and at you too and see the same thing. He must see the plethora of mistakes that we make, but also he must look beyond our self-doubt and our fatigue. And more importantly, he is eager to supply whatever is lacking in us so that we can bring God's healing and peace to other people. Jesus first gave us that gift in baptism when he poured into our hearts God's Holy Spirit, that breath of God that dynamizes us, that power of God which enlarges and completes our own stumbling efforts. However, if baptism enables us to be disciples, if baptism allows us to imitate Jesus' healing activity in the world, the specific way that each of us is called to do that will differ. Because within our common Christian life, there is a variety of vocations: parent, child, spouse, teacher, student, priest, just to name a few. Whoever you are, you have a distinct missionary task, a particular way that you are supposed to live out your Christian vocation. A healthcare provider sitting here today, for instance, is not simply a Christian for the couple of hours on Sunday morning and a medical profession the other 6.5 days. For 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you are commissioned by Christ to present his healing face to the sick. Likewise, any parent sitting here is not a Christian parent only for the hour that Mass goes on. You are a Christian parent 24/7. Your every act of parenting represents the compassionate face of Christ, the Christ who continues to nurture his children through your efforts. It has been 2,000 years since Christ issued the Great Commission, and yet there is still a dearth of authentic Christian disciples. Despite churches full to overflowing, not enough Christians carry the urgent love of Christ with them when they leave church and go back to where they live and work. Well, my friends, God has no need of closet Christians or Sunday Catholics. Wherever God sends you as a disciple, to home or to hospital, to office or to school, there are people there desperate to discover whether the love of Christ has taken hold in your heart. So take that love of Christ, along with the many talents that God has given you, and put them at the service of others. Strive this week to make someone else's life more bearable, more human, more joyful. When each of us does that, then and only then will the work of the Great Commission be accomplished. I'd like to say a few words to our boys and girls who are making their first communion today. I've just realized as I was giving that homily that perhaps you don't know what the word commission means. I said that word about 6 times in the homily, and you may not have understood that. A commission is a job, a task that somebody in authority gives us to perform. They say, I trust you enough to do this, and from now on I'd like you to do that. So your commission doesn't come today when you make your first communion. Your commission came in baptism. Don't you remember? Most of you are probably little babies. Your parents are supposed to remind you, and your godparents. Are there any godparents here today? When's the last time that you spoke to your godchildren about the commission that they received in baptism? I urge you to look for that opportunity to do that. So let me remind you, because you were too little to hear this when you were babies, you received 3 jobs when you were baptized. Everybody who's baptized here received those same 3 jobs. You were commissioned to be a priest, the girls and the boys. You were commissioned to be a priest and to be a prophet and to be a king, the girls and the boys. King, we use that language because that's the language that comes out of the Bible. A priest is not somebody who gets in front of the altar and says prayers for everybody. A priest is anybody who talks to God. And that's what we are all supposed to do every day, to look for those opportunities to talk to Jesus and to ask Jesus to help us. A prophet is somebody who sees something wrong going on around me and stands up and says, that's not the way it should be. And even you as little children can do that. For instance, when you're at school and you see someone picking on someone else, someone bullying someone else, you, by your baptism, are supposed to stand up and say, that's not right. And if you can't say that to the person who's doing it, you look for somebody who can help you to do that. And a king, or better, the Bible uses the word shepherd, that's the person who looks around to those who are neediest in the world and says, I can help you. For instance, if you're at school and you see somebody who has no friends, everybody else is playing, and this one person is over there in the corner, you as the shepherd, by your baptism, you're supposed to go over and say, would you like to play with me? Priest, prophet and king. That's the great commission, the great job that you receive from Jesus. And today, you get an extra way of being able to do that. Through the Holy Eucharist, through communion, we become closer to Jesus. We invite Jesus into our heart, and we say, Jesus, help me to be the best priest, prophet, and king that I can be. But you're probably not going to come to communion every day. You're probably going to come to communion perhaps every Sunday. We hope for that. But every day, you can say to Jesus, you can pray to Jesus and ask Jesus to help you. For instance, when you wake up in the morning, simply make the sign of the cross and then say, Jesus, as I begin this new day, I thank you. And I ask you to help me to be the best girl or the best boy that I can be today. And the same at the end of the day, just before you're going to fall asleep, you make the sign of the cross and you say, Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. I'm sorry if I wasn't always the best girl or the best boy, but if you give me your help tomorrow, I'm going to try to do better. And so I encourage you to do that. I encourage parents and godparents to help these children to grow into their priestly, prophetic, and royal destiny as Christians.